Hello and welcome back to this little mini series about how to create that funky little logo in Blender, literally from a rasterized image all the way through to an extrusion, and now we're replicating bits on top of that. So in the previous video, we've replicated some grass onto the surface. We've also added some of these little balls around that DAS Studio logo. And now we're going to have a look at what we can do so that some more spheres are being replicated at the top here and at the sides here perhaps. And we want to put a text object in here, and on that we don't really want grass to grow on that plane down here as well. So we'll see how that works in Blender. First of all, let me switch off the rendered version and go back to the solid viewport here. I'm also going to go and perhaps tumble the camera around a little bit so that we get a bit of a better view of where we want to work on. So that's these areas up here. The grass is very dense, so let me select that ground plane and go into the particle system and just switch that thing off so that we don't see it. I could probably switch off the whole plane if I wanted to do that. There we go. And then we can only work in isolation on that DAS Studio logo. So we also have a particle system on this guy here, and we can see the settings on here, the number of spheres that are being currently replicated. But it looks like they're very dense at the front here, and they're not so dense on the top of that geometry. So let's see how we can change that. So there is a way to give that replicator system or the particle system a map, a density map of where things should be replicated more or less. And we can simply paint that in either with a tablet or with our mouse. I do have a tablet somewhere, but it's not currently plugged in. So let's see how this goes without a tablet, just with a good old-fashioned mouse here. So the way to do that is to select the logo in question or the object in question. And then on the bottom here, there where it says object mode, we can change that to weight paint. And when we do that, the whole thing turns blue. And that currently means that is where things are being replicated the most. So in the left-hand side, we can see that we have a brush now that we can paint this thing with. So if I hover over left-click and drag here, then I can see what happens here. So my logo turns red here. And I believe I gotta really look into that. It's kind of a trial and error thing. See if I can remember how to do anything here. When it's red, that means there's no objects being replicated here. Green and yellow are kind of in between shades, and blue is where the most replication starts, I think. So let's see if my theory is actually correct. First of all, perhaps to get a better idea of what I'm painting, I'm going to get rid of my spheres. And I did that in the last video. I showed you how to do that. Just click that little eye icon on the particle system, and now they just don't show up in the viewport. They'll still show up in the rendered version. If I render my image now, then they'd still come out, but for now I've just disabled them. So maybe I'll just paint the top of my D in red and see what happens there. So I'm expecting then to be no spheres replicated where the D is, and the full replication that we have right now where the logo is blue. So that's basically all there's to it. We're going to look at all these options here, or some of the basic options of painting that, in a moment. But for now, let's go back into object mode and switch on my particle system. So as we can see, nothing has changed. There's still a lot of spheres being replicated on the letter D. And that's because currently the replicator system or the particle system doesn't really know that what I've done there with the weight map that I've painted. So in order for that to recognize this, we can scroll down to the bottom. Under vertex groups, we can see that there's several options here: density, length, clump, kink, roughness, 1, 2, and E. I really don't know what these are about. But what we're looking at is the density map. And we can now select any kind of map that we have painted previously and add that in here. So if I select my thing, there's only one called group. And I do apologize, I really don't know how to name that. I'd love to name this into something else, but I haven't found out how to do that yet. Perhaps there is a way, maybe we can find out in a minute. So if I select that, then I can see that my painted thing has in fact had the opposite effect of what I wanted. So I guess blue by default means that's where replication doesn't happen, and red means that's where the most replication happens. So I do apologize. But it's one of those things, it's kind of a value that we can easily invert. So depending on your needs, there's also this little arrow icon here, the double arrow icon, and I can now invert my map. And if I do that, then I can see that the effect is in fact inverted. So this is kind of what I had expected to happen. I guess I was wrong there. In my case, I really wanted there to be no replication on the D and the most replication on all the other things. So I guess, you know, this is in a way to easily turn these two things around. But that's in principle how you add a density map to the emitter system. And you can also do that with other things. So I could also select my group in the length thing, and that kind of has a more like the exact effect that I wanted. So perhaps, you know, length is a better option for me to choose, and now paint in all the other parts of the object that I'd like to replicate my spheres as well. I can just go back into the weight paint mode and then keep painting. So perhaps I want that to be on the top, and if I leave my replicator switched on at the same time, then I can see that it starts replicating stuff right away where I'm painting. So depending on how high or low your polygons are that are there, you can always do that. I mean, my spheres are very simple to make, so I can, you know, I can make full use of that. If I don't want to paint with the full wax, so then a Wacom tablet definitely comes in handy here. But if you don't have that, you can also decrease the strength a little bit here. So now if I do that, then I don't paint with full red, I just paint with something slightly less. You can also crank up the radius here to make that a bit bigger. So if I'm a bit busy and I don't want to spend all my time doing that, you can have a bigger radius to do that. These little things, that means if you enable that, that means pressure sensitivity of your tablet is enabled. So that's a thing where you can press harder and paint more, and don't press as hard and you paint less. Other than that, the pressure sensitivity is disabled and you just paint with a constant value. Currently our mode is in mix mode, but I can also do add or subtract. So if I've painted too much on the bottom here, I can just subtract some of that, and then you see what happens. There's less spheres being reproduced here. Or I can say add, and then I'm going to just add things to here. Right now it looks like there's some geometry issues here that just makes more spheres appear on the bottom studio than up there. I believe it's due to the fact that this geometry up here is not as dense as the one down here. And this is where I can now go and subtract with a little bit less strength and a little bit of a smaller radius, perhaps something to make sure there's just less spheres being replicated here. And this is just beautiful that I can see the exact effect. So I don't really care about the color of the map, but what I can see is that what the effect has that the replicator has on this straight away. So I can just make less spheres appear here and then even this out. So if I wanted more spheres on my logo, I can just go back into the replicator system and say instead of about 10,000, I want 20,000. Spheres, and it just takes a moment and then the replicator will do that. And so now that means there's more spheres down here. Perhaps I want that to be a little bit more dense down here, or I don't, that's also possible. But there we go, you get the gist of it. You get an impression of what this looks like. And then therefore you can, without changing the geometry, you can even this out. That's quite nice. So we can do the same thing with our ground plane now. On the DAS Studio thing, I'm going to switch my spheres off. I'm going to go back into, actually, let me stay in weight painting mode. Let's go to the ground plane, switch that on. And if I head over to my camera, then I'm kind of envisioning here to be a text object right there. So I would like for there not to be anything, any grass growing underneath it, because while the grass looks okay inside the DAS Studio logo because it's kind of an overgrown thing, the text object is going to be occluded by that. In fact, you know, speaking of it, let's just put one in there. So Shift A and let's create a text object. I've shown you the ins and outs of that in an earlier video. Right now I can't really see it, so let me just turn that up here, RZ90 to make it stand up correctly. I don't really like the font, so let me go into the font options and open one. And on my Windows system, the fonts are in Windows Fonts, I believe. And there's all of them. So I don't really know which one to choose. Perhaps I'm going to choose Arial Black. Double click on that, and this is now changed into Arial Black. Very nice. In edit mode, I can change the text, and I can say this is just going to be 101. Tapping out of edit mode gives me this. And to turn this into an extruded object, once again, I can go over to Object, Convert to Mesh from Curve Metasurf Text. Let's do that. And go back into edit mode and extrude this thing to something like that. I can also add things like bevels. I don't want to do that right now. I'm just going to go and perhaps set the pivot point correctly. And the easiest thing for me to do is if I go and hide the ground, hide the DAS Studio logo, and just move that thing to about here and then over here. That's kind of the middle-ish. I'm just lining this up to where the cursor is, the 3D cursor. And perhaps I'm going to do this. There, and it doesn't have to be accurate. I'm just going to say origin to 3D cursor, and now the origin of my 101 is in fact in the middle of my object. Let's turn on the ground again and the DAS Studio logo and move this guy into place. There, I think I want this to stand up, so I'm going to rotate around the Y axis in this direction, something like that. It's kind of half lying down there, and we'll see what that looks like in relation to the logo just by pressing the zero button, and frame that camera up again. Maybe lies down flat a little bit more, something along those lines there. So that text object, maybe we'll scale it up a bit to something like that, bring it forward just a bit there. So if I now go and switch on . Not sure what that alarm is about. Maybe I should check it out. I don't know if you've just heard that, but I just received a presidential alert. Did you see that? This is awesome. I've never had this before. This is kind of crazy. This is a test message. This is like, I feel like I'm working for the Dharma Initiative here. That is amazing. This is a presidential, it says presidential alert. This is a test of the National Wireless Emergency Alert System. No action is needed. Ooh, there's my old iPhone 6S Plus with 1% on the charge. It has still displayed that message. So, ooh, presidential alert received, Capem. There we go. We do apologize for the interruption in this program. Let's go back to the replicator system in Blender. So if I head over and make my ground replicator system visible again, then I can see that the grass is interfering with my 101 numbers up here, and I don't really want to have that happen. So once again, with the ground selected, I can go into the weight paint mode, and now I can just paint again where I don't want any of these things to happen. So perhaps my plane doesn't have the greatest resolution, which is why I'm not having much luck in providing absolute accuracy here. But you can see the point. So if I wanted more accuracy as to where I'm painting, I need to subdivide my plane. Now, I don't know if that's going to have an effect on my replicator system. It possibly has. Let's just see what happens if we switch this on and see if we can live with that or if we need to do something else. So once again, under vertex groups, I guess under density, I'm now going to select group here. Yeah, that is totally not what we want. But I guess it is because the density of my ground isn't big enough. So you can see what's happening here. It's kind of orienting itself on the vertices. So if I wanted for that to be more accurate, I can go and select my ground and go into edit mode and then subdivide the whole plane once or twice. Let's see if that works. And then we can start painting that map again. Therefore, the map will have a higher resolution. It's a bit like that on ZBrush as well. If your object hasn't got enough points, then the resolution of what you're painting is going to be very low and very crude. It follows the same principle. So let's have a look at subdivide. I still don't know what the keyboard shortcut is, but it looks like it's working here. We do that once or twice. And back in our vertex paint, or weight paint mode, sorry, we can now see that I can paint more accurately over the whole map. Now, since I'm already painting like a madman here, let me just finish that off, and then we're going to subtract something from that painting. There. It is kind of cool also to paint in where I'd like the grass to be a little bit more patchy. So this was add. Let's switch to subtract and see how we can affect the replicator directly by just taking away where we don't want the grass to appear, namely around my numbers here. And again, you can take it in passes and just see that it's visually exactly what you're looking for. So look, I've gone a little bit over the top here. Some of these things I don't want to go into the actual numbers here. I don't mind things growing in the middle here, but if it interferes with the object, that just doesn't look good. So I'm going to make that my radius a little bit smaller, and I'm going to go and add stuff in again. For example, up here and in the middle here as well. So I like this around the DAS Studio. That was nice, but I don't want this to interfere with the numbers. And also here in the front, I think I'd like the highest replication density, something like that. Going back to subtract here one moment, and just to see that I don't have a complete accurate reproduction of the grass in these places, I'm just going to paint in some patches. Well, obviously not with a strength of 100%, I do apologize. We're just making this a little bit more natural and patchy in places. I'm going to do that over here as well, because that's going to be for the other logo. I'm going to create the one that's more rectangular to match the YouTube thumbnail. Righty, well, let's have a look what this looks like in the rendered version for now. We haven't defined a material for the 101 there yet. I don't know if I like the placement or if I want to move it around a little bit. Perhaps I'm going to play with that in a moment. Perhaps we can make that silver. How's that for an idea? We made the DAS Studio thing gold already. In fact, let's put that particle system on display again. And perhaps we're going to have a silver 101 underneath it. Yeah, I think perhaps this logo could face us a little bit more, while the DAS Studio is nice. I like those patches here. Perhaps they're a little bit much. I may have to paint those in a little bit more subtle, but we're kind of getting there. You get the picture. Let's see if we can work on that placement for the 101 there. Go back to solid, select the, whoops, we're still in weight painting mode. That's not good. Let's go back to object mode. Let's select the 101 and just go and rotate this around the Z axis. Whoops, the other way perhaps, like that. And perhaps rotate this around the Y axis as well. Whoops, this way, so that it's more, you know, it's facing us more. Yeah, I think I like that a bit better. And then there's room for my branding down here. And, you know, Bob's your uncle, Betty is your aunt. Oh yes, material, of course. So let's switch back over to my nodes here, and still with the 101 selected, let's create a new material and call that silver. And the silver, like you probably imagine, is much like the gold. So we're going to go and create a mix shader for that. Then we're going to pop in here, and we're going to put another shader, namely a gloss shader, over here. You can totally tell how the computer is now not as responsive anymore, because it has quite a lot of rendering to do in the background here. It just about works, but it's a tiny bit too slow for my comfort. So I'm going to switch that back off and make the gray a bit darker. Something along those lines. And I think maybe I'm not quite happy with the font, but you get the idea, you get the picture. I will come up with something in due course, and I hope this was helpful nonetheless, even though this is not a perfect result. Just one thing before we abandon this project. If I go back to my default view and you wanted to create a version that's now rectangular, you can just simply go ahead and go into your render dimensions and set this to something like 1920 by 1080. And then you've got this rectangular. Open this tab, lock the camera to the view, and then zoom out and see which position floats your boat really, and then reposition the camera so that perhaps like this. Now that would mean this would be the perfect YouTube thumbnail where the text could be here like that. See what it looks like as the rendered version. And I don't really mind that this is a little bit more dark here, because that's where I'm going to put the text elements anyway, so this stands out. And I really need to work on the color and on the text on this, but you get the picture, you get the idea. And here we have the final result. I did a bit more tinkering there, so you can kind of see what I did here. So I added a little bit more geometry to the letters A and Z at the top here. Then I've also changed the font down here. I'm using the, what's the font again? Let's have a look. It is the Ink-Free font, and I even split that out into two objects, because otherwise the one would have blended into the zero at the end there. And other than that, I've also added an environment texture to it, an HDRI image from the Blender Cloud, so that gave this the reflections that I needed on the kind of gold color I was trying to create there. And that's actually very simple. HDRI was what was missing. I may show you this in an upcoming video, how to use an HDRI in Blender for lighting and as a background image. I hope this was helpful. It's a little mini series. I was kind of in the middle of doing that, and I thought, why don't I let you guys in on how I did it? Perhaps some of my tips can help you make funky art in Blender. If you think, well, actually, some of these things were a bit too fast and Blender isn't really my cup of tea, it's more about, you know, in principle, how you can do things in Blender. If you want to learn more about it, I thoroughly recommend Darren's channel. Check out Darren Lyle on YouTube. I'll put a link in the description. He is phenomenal. I think he is the man who introduced me to how wonderful Blender actually is. And once you get to understand how the philosophy works and how wonderful the keyboard shortcuts are, then you know you're going to be flying in Blender. And it's really tough to look at other 3D applications again once you've looked at Blender and you think, whoa, it can do that and it's free. I also encourage you to subscribe to the Blender Cloud. I'm doing that. I'm supporting them with $10 a month, and it is really, really rewarding. They have a Blender Cloud kind of plugin that allows you to render an image and quickly upload it to the Blender Cloud. You get access to a vast collection of textures literally from the cloud. Pick one, use them in a Blender project without ever having to go to Google or to other websites. You just bring them in and they're all free. So, well, free with the Blender Cloud subscription. So something to look into. It was wonderful that you could join me in this little mini series about how to create a logo in Blender, from literally from a screen grab to an extruded version of the logo like this. If you liked it, then of course share it with friends, family and total strangers, and don't forget to subscribe to my channel. I will see you soon with more videos from Das Studio 101. Take care. Bye bye.